as we've spent the last couple days together, and I just really have marveled at the wonderful works of God and the answers that He has for us in life. There was at one time, there was this young rebel Amish man that he was so tired of his situation, so tired of just simply the things that were in his life, and he began to rebel and was trying to figure out how to get away from all the things that life was handing him, and he went out into the world, and there he got into much trouble, and to the extent that he didn't even fear God. He was like, thought he was so tough or so, just didn't seem that it's too. And the point I want to bring out that he was at a point in life where he just thought he had all the answers himself and God wasn't really in the picture. The song, "I Am Resolved," and hastening to God was not part of the equation. It was actually a running from God. And eventually, he began to see that life doesn't have the answers. And he started to seek for answers in life. And I have to think of where in John, where it says that when John came, he was there to make the way for the one that was coming that had the light that would light the life of men. Anyway, he began to find this life, and here's how it started to happen. And I want to read here in Deuteronomy a little bit, where Moses had gathered, the people were gathered together at a feast of some kind here, and it was coming close to the end of Moses' time, and God told Moses, He said, "Gather all the people together, all the women, all the children, all the men, and the strangers that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all that the words of His law say, and that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land." And as you see here, there's a learning and a fearing that needs to happen before we can see God. And that's what happened to that young man. He began to fear God and learn. I just want to, as we come before the Lord here, I know that we believe that God is with us, and I just want to impress upon my heart and yours that without coming before the Lord in a sense of reverence and awe to Him, we are nothing. And with that, some of you were in the prayer room this morning. We prayed for God to be here, and some of you were not. And for that cause and for that reason, I think we should just all kneel before the Lord now and come to Him in prayer. Let's kneel. Heavenly Father, as we bow our hearts before You, we just pray that You would give us a healthy fear of Your greatness, Heavenly Father, Your almightiness, Your law, and Your justice. Heavenly Father, we also desire Your mercy and Your compassion. May Your grace just be extended unto us, and it may be grace for grace. And that as You take us through this message together with You, we just pray that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, would be here in our midst. Your Holy Spirit would lead and guide and direct our thoughts and our minds and our hearts, that we may become before You in reverence and awe of what You have done in our lives, and for all those that are looking for the light, for what the potential is that You might do for them. Lord, we praise You for Your goodness. Thank You, Heavenly Father, that You have even made it an iota of a little bit possible that we can see You, that we can know what it takes to follow you, and that you have provided a way. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has provided a way for us to walk victoriously with you, not from our own strength, Heavenly Father, but with the strength of Christ within us. And that's how we come and bow our hearts before you, that the strength of Christ might be in our hearts and our minds. We just want to open our hearts and minds to hear your word. Lord, teach us and help us learn more of your ways. Sanctify and purify us this moment. We just commit ourselves into your care, Heavenly Father, and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, I just have this desire to rejoice in the Lord here with you all, and I'm very blessed again to be here. Here's some words in Psalms, and you must... I'll read in Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. I'm just skipping through here. You don't have to turn to this. Just listen to the words of the Lord. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. So in spite of all the evil in the world and all the things that are bad, the goodness of the Lord does encamp round about us. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. I love that verse. The Lord bringeth counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people to none effect. Our own imaginations and our own devisings and things really are no match for the Lord and what He can do when we have His Spirit moving in our lives. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. That's a promise, brothers and sisters, that God is concerned about your life. The Lord looks down from heaven, and His Spirit is here surrounding us, and He does care about where you're going, what you're thinking, and what you're doing. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. I was going to read some out of Psalms 34, such things as, the poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want. Hear that? No want to them that fear Him. But there's some key verses, key things going on here, and we heard this once. Thank you, brother, for reading that. That was one of the verse. That was one of the things that was on my heart. And what I'm coming up to here is that if you are needing anything in life, it begins with the fear of the Lord. It's that simple. When I was struggling with things in life, and it began to dawn on me that God really does hold my life in His hands, and if I die, I'm not ready to go anywhere but to hell, then I began to fear that, and I began to shake at times at night. And as I began to fear the Lord, I saw that there's things that I'm going to have to give up because God was there prompting me with my sin, with all the things that was besetting me. And basically what I want us to, what I'm just sharing here is that a healthy fear of God is the beginning of repentance. And without repentance, we cannot come to the Lord. And as you have entered that repentance and have, those of you that have committed your life to the Lord, those of us, I want to speak to myself as much as to anybody, once we've committed our life to the Lord and we come into the assembly of the saints, which is what you are here, I'm fully persuaded that we have the bride of Christ assembled here today. I have sensed that you have the foundation of Jesus Christ here. Do I know, is it perfect? Probably not. But I sense a great desire to walk in the fear of the Lord and with His commandments, the teachings of Jesus Christ. But we need to remain in the fear of the Lord. And as we come to this ordination, one of the things that recently a young man came to me and he said, you know, my dad, he made all kinds of mistakes. And there was times when I really didn't. I just knew that what he was doing wasn't what I wanted to do, and it wasn't maybe even what was best for me. But there's one thing that I did notice that helped me kind of like always come back on track. He said, I knew my father wanted to fear. He feared the Lord, and he always was making his goal and his aim with this little saying that goes, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the fear of the Lord. That will take you a long way, brothers, as you begin your ministry, a new ministry. You have begun a ministry, but as you have a new setting and a new duties going on, that same thing that started you off will keep you going, and it will also keep you in the wisdom of the Lord. As you well know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So I just want to impress that upon our hearts today, that we need to remain there. Whether it's with the church, with your life, or with your families, when that young man told me that, I knew that in spite of many mistakes that fathers can make, that elders can make, that leaders can make, that those that are trying to help us can make, if you can see the fear of the Lord in their lives, there's a reverence that can take place that goes a long way. And it's pleasing to the Lord because we're actually fearing Him in that way. So fear the Lord, brethren. And behold, the eyes of the Lord upon them that fear Him. And this will bring wisdom. This also helps you stay in knowing who you believe in. I think of that verse where it says that, I know and am persuaded. I know in whom I have believed. You have begun a good work. You have committed your life to Christ, and you know in who you believe, which is Jesus Christ. And you're persuaded that He's able to keep you, which you've committed to Him and to Him against that day. And that's for you ladies, wives of Andrew and Lewis here. I was very blessed yesterday to hear that you were both very committed to whatever the Lord was wanting. And that's very important. Be persuaded that He's able to keep you in that commitment and take you through. I want to go to a few things here that I don't really know what all to say here today. But my heart is to just give maybe some encouragement and some things that I've learned. I don't want, and this is one thing I'm going to say, brothers, as you teach and exhort and help build the church for all of you, but especially, I just want you to know that I'm especially speaking to Brother Andrew, Lewis, and Alan. I don't see you, but just want you to know, yeah, that what has brought you this far will keep you going. And what's made you worthy in the sight of the Lord to be qualified is something that the rest of you, in a sense, you want to pursue that. You want to envy that. And I don't understand this saying completely, but the office of a bishopric is something about is to be desired. And to be walking in the favor of God is basically to be desired. Amen. That is something that we all want and that you need. In that, I think of this some of my experiences has taught me that sometimes we get a little lopsided, and you both have gifts that you'll be exercising, and I encourage you highly to exercise those gifts, whatever they might be, whether you're a server, a giver, an exhorter, a teacher, and you're probably a combination. All of us are a combination of some of these, but without the help of the Lord and without His fine-tuning, you will have weaknesses alongside that will take down your strengths when I say careful, it's not that you can be careful and just do it on your own, but you need to look to God and ask Him how to keep you on track with your strengths, and let not those strengths be your weakness. And there's three things that I've learned that really are important that go with that. And that is in Micah 6:8, where it says, "It is shown unto thee, O man, what the Lord desires, and it's to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with the Lord, with thy God." And that's a very foundational base. Justly has to do with truth. Knowing truth, knowing the Word, and presenting it, and helping serve the church in a way that truth is always upheld and it's just. Things are not, there's no partiality, there's no devisings of your own, but it's the pure truth, and you keep it pure. That's walking justly. Everything that you do is fair, upright, and transparent. And to love mercy along with that is very important, because truth by itself, without the love of God and mercy comes in the category of the love of God. And you need mercy. You need to be able to have a heart of compassion for those that you're serving. And I believe that you do. I trust that you will. I trust all of us have that desire. And that desire needs to be exercised. Those things of justice and mercy don't just happen by, I want to say this carefully. It is okay to be a quiet person in the background and to be faithful in the least. That is one of Jesus' teachings. But you cannot back so far into the background that you shy away from ever being expected to do anything. If you're doing that, you're hiding. And if you hide, you cannot exercise justice and mercy. You need to be exercising that. Helping others. Walk in love and mercy with them. Be understanding. This all takes humility. It says, walk humbly with God. And that is knowing that from your own, without God, He is your strength, He is your shield, He's your buckler, He's the one that takes you there. I know you know this, but that is very foundational to me. I believe that is to walk, to do justly, to do what is right, and treat people right. Treat people the way you would want to be treated. I have a couple things here that I wrote down that I'm going to bring into this right now. And if I can find them here. To do justly, do not show partiality. As deacons to the church and as servers, distribute your time, other people's money, other people's time, and all the things that are put into your care, distribute those fairly. Don't show any partiality. God is not a God of partiality. He loves us even while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. So love one and all and show compassion. Look out for the poor and the hurting. And don't push them back, especially children and the fatherless and widows. Look out for those. And at this time, when it comes to walking humbly with God, it'll be a challenge for you to prioritize your time. And there's this great debate. I call it one of the debates that we have. Which is most important, your family or your call from God? Your calling, as God has given you a calling to work in the church. And that's something that we all can kind of, we all maybe tweak a little bit here and there to measure where we should be. And I'll just give you my opinion on that. I'll open myself up for correction on that. But as you, your family is very important. And it's often easy to neglect your family. I have that tendency myself, to give more time to others than I do to my family. You need to be very careful of that. Yet when it comes down to the very bottom line, what I'm going to say is, suppose that you're asked to serve God and your wife says she doesn't want to do that anymore. Then I'm saying you need to serve God. So your calling to serve the Lord is very high priority. And just, but you don't have to neglect your family to do that. That's basically what I'm saying. Yet, when it comes right down to following the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said, who loves father, mother, son or daughter, sister or your wife more than me cannot be my disciple. So ultimately, he wants your full dedication. And it's very important that you keep your priorities in line that way. So God and your family and the church are all something that you're going to find is kind of a juggle. And I encourage you to do the best you can in that. My text for today, I want to be centered around 1 Corinthians 3. And before we go there, I'm going to go there here and read some things in 1 Corinthians 3. We need to build on a foundation of Jesus Christ very wisely. And that's why I'm using that text. As you labor and work in the church, any of you, any of us that are working and laboring, we all are, and apply this also to your families. If you're married, you have children, God has blessed you with children, apply this in that way. Also, if you're single, God is still asking you to help build the church, whether you're single or not, or married or not married. And so we all need to be careful how we build. First of all, well, I'll just leave that. I had a verse in Romans that I had in mind, but I'll come back to that. What I have on my heart now, what God is giving me a picture of, is that as you build the church, as you labor in the church here, don't labor in your own wisdom. As we know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And in 1 Corinthians 2, here's a verse that often I've pondered and thought about this, and it says that Paul came, he said, In chapter 2, he said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit of the power." In demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We'll get that right, because it's very important. If we don't come before God and His work, whether it's giving a message, talking privately with someone, serving in some way that nobody even notices, always ask the Lord to give you direction and wisdom. Don't forget that. It's real easy. I've learned it's real easy to start reasoning and thinking, oh yeah, well this makes sense. This is how we ought to do this. And I'm here to tell you that God doesn't always make sense. It doesn't always come out in our reasoning like we think it should. And so it's real important that you do it in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, which means that in spite of your weaknesses, Paul has said this very clearly, in spite of his infirmities and his weaknesses, in the Spirit and with that power, something can be demonstrated that the people see God. We always want that. To walk humbly with the Lord is always give Him the honor and glory for all that comes. And so, verse 5 is very important. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It is real easy to start reasoning things out when we start planning. Anything we plan, whether it's how to spend the church's money to how to help someone that is in need, or reach out and touch someone's life that is in despair, or simply help your own family. It's easy. And even your brothers, you're planning an outreach, I hear. Don't do that in the wisdom of men. And I say that in fear of, I could easily help just be that way too. Like we start sitting around the table and we start talking and we want to reason this out how it's best. And we do. God did give us minds, and I'm not talking about excluding common sense. That's not what I'm talking about. But we get to reason things out either financially and we kind of put this whole conglomeration of a picture together and it makes sense, right? And then something doesn't really open up right, or there's a check somewhere, or there's something isn't quite right. And that's the Lord telling us that maybe what makes sense to you isn't what I'm looking for. And we can easily build the church in our own human wisdom. And my encouragement is, let's be careful that we don't do that. So I'm going to read here in 1 Corinthians 3. This is my theme chapter for today. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." The first part of this chapter doesn't totally apply, but I'm going to read all of it. "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye were yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man." Here were their leaders, and they were following their leaders, arguing about who was either right or wrong or the best, or who they were following, and Paul simply said, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase." It's a very key point. God is the one that increases the body of Christ, the church, His bride. And as He calls people to walk in those doors, the wisdom of man must go, and the power of the Spirit of God must enter and be there, or else the potential of you failing and turning people away. And I'm not saying that people don't get turned away, All I'm saying is, if they get turned away, it needs to be their choice and not your fault. And I think that's real important in building the church of Jesus Christ. We're laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. I skipped a couple verses there. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And I was very blessed by the opening that we heard about rewards. Here's another one. Here's another chapter that comes in. There are rewards. There's a certain essence of blessing that comes with building. God blesses us if we work in His kingdom according to His will. There's a blessing there. And there's a reward there. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. So take heed how you build upon the foundation of the church. This thought comes very strongly that you, brothers that are being ordained, need to know that you are watchmen, you are servants, you are workers, but this is not your church. This is not your body of believers. At the end of this chapter, it says, all is yours. It says, but ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. This is Christ's church. Or it should be. I implore you that it is in Christ's church, and that it should be. Do you know that that a church can have a good foundation? What I mean by that is it can have doctrine correct. It can be foundationally very strong, teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, teach men how to be saved, and still not have Christ as the head. I don't really have time to explain that. I should. But that can happen. Sometimes when a church is in a state where everything looks doctrinally correct and the foundation is there, and it really is, we're standing on the Word of God, we're trying to do what the Word says, but we're leading, the church is being led by either a party, which is a hierarchy, or it's being led by human reasoning, and that can happen. And we don't want that to happen. We want Christ as the foundation, and Christ as the head. That is the way the church of Jesus Christ should look. And I'm not saying that you're perfect, neither are we perfect. But that's what we need to strive for. And beware that it can. We can lose our foundation. We can also lose our head. And sometimes it's hard to tell what's going on. My concern is that you don't lose your head. I don't have those verses before me. In Colossians, it talks about Christ being the head. Let's go ahead for the sake of time and read here. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for all the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And we're talking about this. We have before us this ordination, and you brothers here serving the church in a new role. And this is a very important scripture for us to build on. That we be careful how you build. Build with things that, and when I, it says, if any man build upon this foundation with gold and silver, and I think this goes maybe a little beyond, this is not just talking about building upon it with truth and doctrine, but the gold is things like, can you really go to your brother and in a respectful way, taking care of his integrity, and dig for the gold that's in someone. Help a brother or sister out of a rut. you know, and with love and compassion, even with exhorting, that's gold. That's golden. When you help someone through the trial of their faith, and you're building on it with the things, like it says in Galatians 5, with love, peace, and joy, and long-suffering, and the things that are the fruits of the Spirit are there. These things are precious. But sometimes we build with wood, hay, and stubble. We want to go, you know, it's easy to say, brother, if you would just quit doing that, you would learn that it's going to work better. And sometimes that turns out to be kind of woody, you know, a little stubbly, you know. It pricks a little here and there, and it doesn't work too well. And another thing that I think of wood, hay, and stubble, I apply this scripture to my life in, as a family. As a father and mother in your family, build your family on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. And when you're building your family, when you're taking time for your family, Lewis, Andrew, build on it with gold and silver. And I've had to figure that. I figured this, hauling another barn is just wood, hay, and stubble. What you need to cut out is the earthly things. If you're cutting something out, cut out the earthly. Don't cut out your family. Don't cut out the church. God will provide. And sometimes we have these temporal things get in our way while we're building, and we just kind of add some more wood, hay, and stubble to the foundation in a hurry and trying to get things done and patched up and so we can go on and with our busy schedules, and it's just wood, hay, and stubble. So be careful with that. Rather, build with silver and gold and the precious stones, love, long-suffering. Take time for your families and your brothers and sisters in the church. And I know sometimes it gets difficult when we know we have things going on, we have appointments to meet, and a brother wants to talk. I just encourage you to try to sort through when God is giving you a divine, what I call a divine appointment, an appointment where He needs you there. He wants you to be serving, and you think you need to be somewhere else. May God give you grace, and He will, to make those discernments. Those are important discernments to make. And may you, wives, be patient with sometimes when your men are not where you want them all the time. And I know sometimes we get carried away and we get sidetracked. And often we're not relating or maybe responding properly. But I still encourage you wives to be patient, be long-suffering as your husbands work and labor in the kingdom. So know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, in which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. I trust that your desire is to walk wise, to walk in the fear of the Lord, and He will give you wisdom. But again, our own wisdom is nothing compared to that of God. And we need to seek that wisdom of the Lord. Don't turn to the world for advice or wisdom. Sometimes they even have good advice. It just blesses me when I see the world using godly principles, but you still don't want to follow them as a whole. The world can use godly principles. There's people in the world that have love for each other and are not doing it with Christ. But just a caution there to not turn to the world for answers. And ye are the temple of the Lord. take care of yourself. And I really mean that, physically, mentally, and emotionally. Take care of yourself. Eat healthy. Meditate. Take time with the Lord. If you have to work through things, feelings and things, don't hide them. Take care of them. Take care of your bodies, your temple. It's wise. Again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. In a sense, Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are yours. The things that God has put here before you, brethren, and here at Liberty, you have a lot of, may I say, opportunities. There's a lot of brothers here that have a lot of talent. There's a lot of things that are yours. And God wants to use those. But you're not your own. And the church is not your own. Use those things to the honor and glory of Christ. I know you know these things, but these are very wise foundational things, I think, that I say wise. Not because I say they're wise, but if I look at the Word of God, and I say, I want to follow the Lord. I want light in my life. I want something to light. I want. Years ago, when my life was in a mess and I began to fear the Lord, I was looking for answers in life. And I had a lot of my own goals set at that time. I was not just clueless and goalless totally. I had ideals. We did. We had, and most of my ideals, to my shame at that time, were my own ideas. My wife was not included in a lot of my ideas. We had a lot of ideas together, but I was very selfish. And it may paint a little bit more of a real picture if you know that I was not converted until I was 30. Well married and well on the way with children. And well headed for a disaster. And God got a hold of my life and changed me around. Changed me to... He's been working on me ever since, and He's still working on me, and I like it. I don't always like it. The trial of my faith has not always been pleasant. But I can smile as I look back and see that... there's a real special scripture... I shared this with some of you youth at the Bible study, that the trial of your faith is more precious than gold. And God really means that. All the things that you and I go through, the hard knocks in life and the things that we make mistakes in, and as we come out of that, we become more like God wants us. Our character develops, and we become more like God wants us to be. And that element in you that God sees, He beholdeth the sons of men. He beholdeth man as he is. And as He beholds you in His sight, the trial of your faith from faith to faith, is more precious than gold. Now, I know you and I don't seek gold. We're not into gold that much. But if we were really seeking the value of gold and the purest gold, and we were an expert at seeking out what the best gold is, what your faith and your walk with Christ is more important than you can seek out as earthly gold. And it's very, very important. It's very important to God, and I just want you to experience the joy and as you come through faith to faith. I think I'll close with this. There's many other things that I haven't even began to touch and don't expect to and didn't try to encourage you in. Oh, there is one thing that I thought about that I have found very valuable, and especially for Brother Andrew, you're a little younger. And, you know, I didn't think I was going to do this, Andrew. But Andrew and I were in Turkey together for 3 weeks, and we learned a lot about each other. And it was very valuable. I really look to that as we went through a little rough times together and some very good times. And that blend of that really, I think, drawed our hearts together. I have a special place in my heart for Brother Andrew. and you're younger, and my encouragement is this is God's responsibility that He's giving you. And by being a little younger, entreat the older men as your father and be respectful of their integrity. Lewis, you also. One thing that I've learned is that it's real important to be easily entreated. And I have found that in both of you so far, as I know. And that's a very valuable asset to the Lord, to be easily entreated. And with that easily entreated, there's times when you may have brothers exhorting you, rebuking you, or maybe not even liking what you're doing or saying. Just be patient. Just be calm. Because there'll be a time when you're asked to exhort and rebuke and admonish brothers that need help. And the best way for you to do that is to have experienced that yourself. That's very valuable. And I really mean that. I've found a lot of people that have spoken to my life, and after I quit bucking and kicking and fighting, I found out it goes a whole lot better if you just let somebody talk to you. And the other people, your brothers are your best critics, and your sisters are your best critics. That it is really works that way. Other people can see us better than we can see ourselves. It's a very valuable asset to be easily entreated. And I've shared some very blessed times with Brother Andrew in Turkey, and in that, I just want to bless you. And Lewis, you too, brother. I look forward to seeing what God has for you to do. And I want to encourage all of you, whether you're just coming into the kingdom or whether you've been here a long time, I honestly look forward. It's exciting to me to see God work in our lives and to see Him clean us up, help us spread the gospel. The fields are white to harvest, and He needs us out there working. And as we work and labor, He's working on us. He's working in me, and He's working in you. It's a joy to see that. Especially it's a joy to see as our children come up and do that also. And you pass on the faith, the torch of Jesus Christ. You can't force it on them. You can't really give it to them. You can. In a sense, you can do what you can to give and lay the foundation for your children, your families, and the church. But it's their choice, and you need to respect that choice. I want to close with this. So, I find it this way. And I know that this works. And that is this. As Paul wrote to young Timothy, and don't let someone despise your youth. I'm sure you've heard some sermons on on the qualities of a deacon, and as I said, entreat, Father, entreat the elders as your fathers, but neither do I expect that you would, let someone despise your youth, because who put you here? God put you here. And that's to be respected. That's to be honored. And with that, I just want you to be persuaded that the one that put you here, Brother Lewis and Brother Andrew, and all of you, the God that brought you into His salvation, you need to be persuaded that He's able to keep you there for however long He wants you. And that's the verse I want to close with. That I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He's able to keep me there, or He's able to keep that which I have committed to Him. You've committed yourself to Christ, also you wives. And He's able to keep you there against that day. Now in closing, here's my thoughts on that day. I think ultimately what He's referring to that day is when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. God is able to keep us faithful in His care to a blessed reward when Jesus Christ returns. But let's back that up a little bit and take that and apply it for today. When you have a tough situation, you've committed situations in your family, in the church, to the Heavenly Father, to God, and the power of His Spirit, and you don't know how it's going to turn out. Sometimes you can ask the older brothers here, there's times when you do what you can and you leave the rest up to God. And you're persuaded that He's able to take you through until that day reveals, the same as that fire, that day, when the test comes of your work, even while you're here on this earth, there'll be a day come when what you did a year ago will be tested. I'm just using that for an example. I don't know. It could be a day later, a week later, a year later, to the end of your life later. And when the day is revealed, that day of time when your work is revealed, I can assure you that God will have come through. You can commit yourself to Him and He will come through. I totally believe that, trust that, and am persuaded of that. If you're persuaded of that, let's sing this song together. Let's all stand. And we'll have Brother Diane lead.